Welcome to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Talk about stuff that's messing with your head and crazy stuff that's happening in the bed. Why? Because many church folks have fallen in the darkness, and the Bible calls us to walk as children of light. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days, are evil. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Ladies and gentlemen, we are still dealing with this pandemic. We went through it all last year, 2020, and now look like we still got it hanging around 2021. And people are asking the question, is this COVID-19, is this a sign of the end times? Is COVID-19 a sign of the end time? Well, that's what the speaker is going to be talking about today. This is Dr. Mark Hitchcock. He's a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary, and he speaks a lot on the end times and Bible prophecy. So get close to your radio and listen as Dr. Mark Hitchcock speaks.
Well, it is great to be here with you. It's an honor to be with you this morning. And my wife Cheryl is here with me as well, as I have her stand up. Marrying her is the best decision I made other than getting saved. So it's the greatest decision of my life to have her, but it's always glad to have her with us. I want to thank all of you for being here, those of you who are present with us here in person here, and those of you that are out in the tents, and those that may be watching online as well. It means a great deal to have you here with us today on this Lord's Day to worship the Lord and study His Word together. I was just reminded, somebody was saying something about, Dean was saying something about people calling in and wanting a translation of what Philip said. When he was at our church one time, he was talking about how the Lord had greatly, he was talking about me, and he says, the Lord has greatly used your pastor's pen over the years. And he said that several times, and several people came up after and said, what pain is there that God's been using greatly in your life? I said, no, he said my pen, the pen, not the pen. But anyway, so sometimes things do get lost in translation. But we love Philip and June and their family, and we love the family here at Kindred as well. It's always a great joy to be here. Yesterday, I was here in town speaking at an online prophecy conference with three other men at his channel. Some of you may have heard of that before. And we were in town, and so Philip was kind enough to allow me to fill the pulpit this morning. And, you know, one of the things I'm thankful for about this church, many things, and about Philip's friendship, but for a church and a pastor who loved the Lord's coming. And, you know, the early church was a second coming church, and certainly that's not what we want to talk about all the time. We don't want that to become some tangent that we're off and that's all we talk about. But it is important to have a regular part of our diet as believers, as looking for the Lord's coming. So we're glad to see that you all, at least many of you, are back here in the building. And, you know, all the talk about social distancing and masks and all that stuff. I saw a really good church sign online, if you'll put that up there for me. Said, I want to be like Saul. I want to be on the road to Damascus. So I think we all want to get on that road probably, and hopefully that'll happen fairly soon. Maybe we'll get this all behind us. But I want to bring a message today just on some signs of the times. Philip asked me to just kind of bring an update on that. So let's open our Bibles to Matthew 24. We're going to be in several different passages, but I thought this would be a good one to just launch out from here this morning. So let me read Matthew 24, 1 to 8, and then I'll go over and just read Luke chapter 21, verse 11. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible here this morning. Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. And he answered and said to them, Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here shall be left upon another, which it will shall not be torn down. And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, Tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Jesus answered and said to them, See to it that no one misleads you. Many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. You'll be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. Then over in Luke 21:11, which is the parallel account in Luke's gospel, Luke adds this, And there will be great earthquakes, and in various places plagues and famines. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. May the Lord write his eternal word on our hearts here this morning. Well, this year, 2020, continues to be a unique and unprecedented year. Think of all the things that have happened, and we're not even to the end of it yet. We have this pandemic. There's been massive locust plagues in the Middle East and Asia. This is the most active hurricane season in years. We see all kind of social and civil unrest sweeping our nation. We see the cultural and political divide in America that's really deeper and wider than it's ever been before. I heard about a wife who said to her husband, she said, should we watch the 6 o'clock news and get indigestion or wait for the 10 o'clock news and have insomnia? I mean, that's kind of the way it is today. You just can only take so much, really, of watching what's happening. And it seems to me like people everywhere have a sense that the world is getting near closing time. I mean, even people who don't know the Lord have this sense of apocalypse. And that was brought home to me and Cheryl early this year. On February 29th, Cheryl and I left Edmond, our home there, for a 13-day trip to Israel. And we could never have imagined how the world was about to change by the time we got back home. It was literally like coming back to a different world. Because while we were in Israel, the coronavirus mushroomed back here in the States and in Europe, and the world really was changed forever. The trip we had to Israel was great. We had great weather. The fellowship was fantastic. But near the end of the trip, the dominoes kind of began to fall. President Trump canceled all flights to the U.S. from Europe. Everyone in our tour with a connection in Europe had to reschedule their flights. And you can imagine all the groups that are there, everybody trying to do that. It was really chaos. There's a lot of frustrating calls to airlines that dragged on for hours for many of our people. And relatives back home were concerned about our safe and speedy return. And Cheryl was barraged with all kinds of anxious text messages. Now, I always like to say, nobody ever texts me. I don't get that many of them, which I'm happy with that. She kind of takes care of all that for us. But our tour group was one of the final ones to get out of Israel. No more groups were allowed after we left. And really, I told the people in our group we're like the last rats off the ship. And during our final day or two there in Jerusalem, the streets were empty. I mean, it was eerie. The vendors were closed. Shops were closed. The only thing that was good about it is when we went to the garden tomb, our last day there, it was basically empty. We had the place to ourselves, which is very uncommon. But Israel was getting ready to hunker down for the long haul. Now, Cheryl and I were coming back. We had a flight, a direct flight to Newark. Fortunately, we didn't have to go through Europe, so we didn't have to go through all those changes. We were standing there. Two young men were in front of us there in Tel Aviv in the airport. And one of them had one of the largest bags I've ever seen full of clanking bottles of vodka that he'd purchased at the duty-free store. I mean, it was a massive bottle. It kept clanking around. And Cheryl and I struck up a conversation with them. And at one point, kind of out of the blue, one of these young men looked at me and Cheryl with a bewildered expression on his face, kind of seeing what was going on, and said, I don't know what on earth is going on. I think the world is about to end. And I was surprised by that comment, and I said something like this to him. I said, this isn't the end of the world, but I do believe Jesus could come at any time, and you need to make sure you've trusted him so you're ready when he comes. Well, he looked at me with a blank stare, having no idea what I had just said, and began to turn back and just started talking to his friend again. I don't think he wanted any part of what I was saying there, and evidently he didn't find what I said very enlightening. But to me, that young man's question, in one form or another, has been on the minds of millions of people in the last weeks and months. I don't know what on earth is going on, but I think the world is about to end. Now, one of my friends recently put it like this. This is kind of a good way to describe what we're seeing. He just said apocalypse is in the air. And I think that's true. There's just a sense of apocalypse. Now, while many people may not want to say it out loud, they're secretly wondering if what we see today are omens of the end, if these are signs and signals of what's to come, if they're harbingers of the end of days, if these might be signposts on the road to Armageddon. Now, by the way, speaking of Armageddon, when we got back from our trip in Israel, of course, Israel was all shut down, and online, a few days after we got back, I saw a picture there of the site there at Armageddon, and it had a big sign on front of it saying it's closed. And I thought to myself, when Armageddon's closed, you know things have gotten pretty bad. So that's what it's like over there in Israel. Now, when you look at our world today, there are a lot of signs that I think point to the stage setting for the end times. The stage is being set. Israel's back in the land. From 1948, almost over 40% of the Jews in the world live in Israel now. You've got the nations of Ezekiel 38 and 39, that coalition coming together. We have a globalistic society, a globalistic economy, and headed towards a global government that we see today. There's a yearning for peace over in the Middle East. A lot of things are happening today that point toward what the Bible predicts. Now, when we talk about signs of the times, people are kind of too extreme. Some people, that's all they think about are signs of the times. Other people are kind of skeptical about signs of the times. Now, I want to remind you, in our passage we read, when Jesus' disciples asked him, what are the signs of your coming in the end of the age? Jesus didn't say, well, don't worry about it. I'm just going to come back someday. No, he gives a long litany of signs in Matthew 24. Over in Matthew 16, Jesus talked about how the leaders in his day had missed the signs of his first coming. And just as there were signs of his first coming that identified Jesus as the Messiah, there will be signs of his second coming. And Jesus chided them for not discerning the signs of the times. One other passage about signs we often don't think about, Hebrews 10:25. So by the way, that's a good verse for today. I realize a lot of people can't come back to gatherings like this, maybe because of underlying health conditions and fear of that. But I think some people are just staying home because it's more comfortable. And Hebrews 10:25 says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but encourage one another. And then it says, do that all the more as you see the day drawing near. So as you see the day of Christ's coming drawing near, we should be together more, not less. We're easy targets for the enemy when we're not part of the herd and part of the pack and with God's people. But I mention that passage because he says, do this all the more as you see the day drawing near. That must mean we can see the day drawing near, right? So it must mean there are things that we can look out and see that are happening that indicate that. Now, let me just give three quick guardrails or kind of guidelines for thinking about signs of the times so we don't end up off in the ditch. The first one is we need seriousness, not speculation or sensationalism. A lot of people are engaged in all kinds of wild speculation and sensationalism, and I get stuff sent to me all the time. You can't believe the emails I get. Being someone who's interested in prophecy and written in that area, I get all kinds of interesting stuff from people. But think about this, if everything's a sign, then nothing's a sign. And with some people, everything that happens is some great sign. So we want to have a serious view, but not sensationalism. And the worst kind of sensationalism, the most reckless form, is date setting, where people set dates for certain events or dates for the coming of Jesus Christ. You always like to say when someone sets a date for the coming of Christ, you can know that's not the date when he's going to come back, because he said he's coming in a time when people don't think that he will. A second kind of guardrail for us is we need to look at Scripture first, not the headlines first. A lot of people look at the headlines and find some wild event or some sensational event, and then they try to come to the Bible and find something to fit that. No, we do it the other way around. We look at current events through the lens of the Bible, and that's what we'll try to do here this morning. And then the final point, and this is an important one, is signs of the times are for the second coming of Christ, not the rapture. Philip and I both believe in what's called the pre-trib rapture, that Christ will come and catch his church away before the coming time of tribulation. We call that the rapture. Then we'll return with him sometime longer than 7 years after that, back to the earth at his second coming. And so the rapture is an imminent event that's signless, that can happen at any moment. The signs are for the return that will be at least 7 years after the rapture. Dr. John Walvoord, who taught many years at Dallas Seminary, has a really good illustration to help us with this. He said that the rapture is kind of like Thanksgiving, and the second coming or return is like Christmas. And you know how it starts now, I guess, in malls in September. You know, start playing Christmas music and decorating for Christmas to get you in the mood to buy presents and spend a lot of money for Christmas. So there's all kinds of signs out there in our culture that Christmas is coming. But there really aren't any signs for Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving's like the rapture. And Dr. Walvoord used to say, if you can see the signs for Christmas and Thanksgiving hasn't arrived yet, then you can be certain that Thanksgiving is pretty near. And that's a good way, I think, to look at this when we see these signs. So the rapture could happen at any moment, but we're already seeing signs of events that will happen during the tribulation that will herald the second coming. So with those guardrails in mind, let's look at a couple of signs that are kind of in the foreground today that you might be hearing about and wondering about. Now, as we look at these signs and we think about these things this morning, I want you to remember that God has given us Bible prophecy not to scare us, but to prepare us. He hasn't given these things to us to make us anxious, but to make us alert and aware of what's happening in the world around us. So with that in mind, let's look at these two signs. They're just two I want to mention today. Peace in the Middle East, and then pestilence or plagues. Obviously, this COVID-19 that's all around us. So let's start here with peace in the Middle East. Now, peace in the Middle East is very elusive. I think we all would recognize that. It's been a phantom that's been chased by president after president, secretary of state after secretary of state. Since Israel was founded as a modern nation in 1948, they had their War of Independence that year. They had the Six-Day War in 1967, the Yom Kippur War in 1973, the war in Lebanon in the early 1980s, and there have been numerous intifadas, which are uprisings, Arab uprisings. And so it's been very difficult, obviously, to broker some kind of peace there in the Middle East. And part of the reason is that's a unique part of the world with all of the long-term rivalries that are there. When we go to Israel with our group, I always like to tell them this story to kind of help them understand the Middle East. It goes like this. A scorpion came out of the desert to the banks of the Nile, whereupon he accosted a crocodile. "My dear chap," he said, "could we form an alliance to get to the other side of the Nile?" The crocodile answered, "Do you think I'm stupid? I'd be at your complete mercy. You could sting me and kill me at any time during the crossing." "Of course not," said the scorpion. "I promise not to sting you, because if I did sting you, I would drown too." The crocodile thought for a second and then agreed this made sense and took the scorpion on his back. About midstream, the scorpion became agitated and stung the crocodile. As the two were about to go under, the crocodile turned to the scorpion and said, "Now we will both die. What possible explanation or logic is there for such an act?" And the scorpion said, "There is none. This is the Middle East." That's kind of what we see over there, right? And that's why it's been so difficult to have some kind of peace. But there's a historic peace movement in the Middle East right now. In fact, just last week, many of you may have watched this on television. For the first time in 20 years, Israel secured peace with Arab nations. The first nation that they secured peace with was Egypt back in 1979. Then Jordan followed in 1994. But now it's been 25 years. And President Trump, his administration spearheaded all of this. And Prime Minister Netanyahu was there at the White House and signed these normalization agreements or peace agreements with the United Arab Emirates and with Bahrain. And interestingly, these were called the Abraham Accords, because you have obviously these descendants of Abraham through Isaac and through Ishmael kind of coming back together. Now, I think a lot of things have motivated this. I mean, I think it's prophetically significant. God is the one orchestrating it. But on the human level, these nations are frustrated with the Palestinians. They're kind of going out on their own now and saying, "Look, we're frustrated that you haven't made peace with Israel by now." Also, these nations are scared to death of Iran. They want to get some peace agreements with Israel. And also they want access to advanced Israeli technology. So there are a lot of human reasons this is happening. But behind this, I believe God is the one who's orchestrating this in his providence and bringing it together. Now, if you watched the speech after that or before the signing of that, I can't remember if it was before or after, but President Trump said 5 or 6 more Arab nations are lined up to normalize relations with Israel. Now, this is geopolitically and historically significant, but I think it's prophetically significant as well. If you have your Bible, turn back to Daniel 9:27 for just a moment, and we're going to look at this verse, and I'll mention another passage in the Old Testament. But this is really the biblical entry point for any discussion of this Middle East peace treaty in the end times, Daniel 9:27. Now, we're kind of parachuting down here into the middle or near the end of this great prophecy that was given to Daniel. But you'll notice in 9:27 it says, and he, now the he here is a reference back to verse 26, to the coming prince, the coming world ruler or the Antichrist. And he will make a firm covenant with the many. Now in the context here, the many would be the many in the nation of Israel. It'd be Israel. For 1 week, and again in the context, if I had time, I would show all this to you, but the 1 week, there's 1 week of years. It's one set of 7 years. So the Bible tells us here that the Antichrist is going to come on the scene. He's going to appear initially as a great peacemaker. And he's going to come and make a covenant with Israel for a 1 week period of time or 7 years. And this treaty must involve some kind of peace for Israel, because notice in the middle of the week, at the middle of that 7 year period, he's going to break the treaty and put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. Well, that means if he's going to stop it at the midpoint, then they must have been doing sacrifice and grain offering, right? Which indicates that Israel has a rebuilt temple there on that 35-acre temple mount and are carrying out their sacrifices. So it's some kind of a guaranteed peace for the nation of Israel. Now, when it says here he'll make a firm covenant, there's several ways to take that. It could mean that he'll confirm a covenant. In other words, he'll make it. It could mean that he will make a firm or a compelled covenant, a forced covenant. In other words, he's going to bring the parties together, the Antichrist is, and give them a take it or leave it kind of deal. But another way this can be interpreted is, or translated, is he will strengthen a covenant with the many. In other words, it's going to be a covenant, or at least the basic parts of that covenant will be in existence, and he's just going to come along and strengthen that covenant. So what we see today could be the beginnings of some kind of covenant that the Antichrist will come along later and strengthen. Now, people often ask, well, you know, the person who's getting this done is Donald Trump, the president, so could he be the Antichrist? Well, if you read about the Antichrist in the Bible, he's a very smooth person, and Donald Trump's not exactly the smoothest person you would think of in politics. I like him, but he's not very smooth. The Antichrist will be a satanic charmer of men. And also in Daniel 9:26, it tells us that the Antichrist will come from the people who destroy the temple in 70 AD. That's the Romans. I don't think it necessarily means he'll be an Italian, but I think it means he will come from the confines of the old Roman Empire. So I don't think the Antichrist will be an American president, although almost every American president since JFK has been identified by the Antichrist, as the Antichrist by somebody. Now, I've got a slide here to put...
All right, we're going to stop the tape right there today, but we're going to pick right back up there tomorrow. That was Dr. Mark Hitchcock, and he was talking about the signs of the end times. All right, that's it for today. Thank you for joining us. Listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner right here. Ghostbusters.